You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to the middle of the week. It is the day of days. It's like you're halfway there. You're almost to the weekend, which means it's time to play the camel. Hit it.
Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Whoop, whoop. Congratulations, you are halfway to the weekend. And as always, the Wednesday means we have to play the camel. And that's, by the way, Butters pushing the buttons on the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing today?
Man, starting off on a good note there. So got the button pushed.
Got the button.
The only button I have to push.
The first button has been pushed. But you know what, though? We got between the different segments we got on the show and the Grand Council, I mean, almost all the sound effects are going to be in play today. Like, your panoply of sound effects is going to be going.
If you see me over here with wires in my mouth and all that, then just keep going, all right? Just leave me behind.
It's just part of it. There you go. All right, we're glad you're here, buddy. All right, so, yeah, by the way, the Boomer and the lovely McQueen are still on vacation. I checked in with them earlier, and they are doing good. And so, anyway, toes in the sand, if you know what I'm saying. All right, hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. Pretty stoked about it. So at 3 o'clock today, Congressman Barry Moore, he's a member of the Freedom Caucus up in D.C. Congressman Barry Moore, he and I served together in the Alabama legislature. He serves from the Wiregrass region down yonder in South Alabama. So we're going to have Congressman Barry Moore on at 3 o'clock to give us his spin on what's happening up in D.C. with the removal of Speaker McCarthy and whatever else we can think of to talk about. So that's at 3 o'clock, Congressman Barry Moore. And then at 4 o'clock, you know, the other thing we always do on Wednesdays besides play the camel is we have the Grand Council. The Grand Council with two of my brethren who are also in talk radio, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. They'll be on with me at 4 o'clock. There's that. And then I still got a whole triple dipper full of stuff, so hit it.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right. The Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So first segment coming out the gate. GOP Thunderdome is what I'm calling it. You know, they like to say, you know, the old thing from Mad Max, Beyond Thunderdome, two men enter, one man leave. All right, well, apparently there's more than two, but nonetheless, we're looking at the GOP Thunderdome. Who's going to be the next Speaker of the House, and what happened to get us to this point? So we'll talk about all of that. Number one on the Triple Dipper, the GOP Thunderdome. Number two, I didn't get to it yesterday because the whole thing about the breaking news about McCarthy, it just, you know, took over the show. So we'll get right back to it because sometimes you got to pay attention to not just what's happening in D.C., not what's happening on the international scene. How about what's happening right here in your backyard? So we're going to talk about some home fries. That'll be number two. We'll cook up some home fries and see what's happening right here in our general area. Number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, golly. I mean, it never stops, does it? The climate cult, that's what I'm calling it. The climate cult is at work. You know, I talked about cults the other day in my monologue, and I'm going to tell you, the climate cult is hard at work doing what it can to convert every aspect of your life to fit their agenda. So we'll talk about a few nuances and new things that have happened in that regard. Number three on the Triple Dipper, the climate cult. All right, let me jump over here to the opening comment, my monologue, the Right Side Way. And once again, I'll just let you know, Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all across North Alabama, open 7 days a week. And by the way, I say it all the time, but it's true. This is actually who I use. In fact, I was actually texting back and forth with somebody from there this morning. Southern Immediate Care, this is who you need to go to if you need something, especially like when they're open 7 days a week, Saturday mornings. How awesome is that? All right, check them out. Southern Immediate Care, and they are indeed the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue. So let me just start by saying this. You know, you love to have time to prepare, right? You love to see a thing coming and have a chance to get your act together, get your mindset, you know, have things laid on in a way that you can sort of lay out your plan and execute the plan accordingly. But there comes a time, though, when you may have to make a snap decision. A decision, though, that's based on something you care about, something you know how to do, but you may get called on to do it without the benefit of advance notice. I mean, sometimes stuff happens in life, right? It's the old fight or flight reaction has to kick in. It can be as simple as addressing a wrong by standing to your feet when the moment arises and expressing your convictions. It can be stepping in to stop somebody from doing harm to someone else. It can be choosing not to answer that nasty message on your social media. Reaction, that's what we're talking about. Sometimes reaction is action. So I spent a number of years in the military on jump status as a paratrooper. I was a qualified jump master, meaning that I was often responsible for airborne operations that my unit conducted. And sometimes those duties were on the ground as the departure area control officer. Sometimes they were in the aircraft, conducting final inspections, outside air safety checks, putting paratroopers out the door on target to hit the drop zone. It was high adventure, man. And there were so many memories that I will not soon forget. And I got to tell you, the amount of time spent preparing for each drop is, generally speaking, a by-the-book, safety-oriented, step-by-step sequence of events. I mean, every single jumper before we went into the plane had to go through a formal pre-jump training again, a jump master brief, a departure area brief, a practice of actions in the aircraft, but perhaps most importantly were the rehearsals of how to land, rehearsals of what to do in the event of a parachute malfunction. We used to say things to each other with a dark humor that anybody can fall out of a perfectly good airplane. It's how you land that makes a difference, which is very true. So these were all static line jumps, meaning there was a nylon static line hooked to the back of the main parachute harness that each jumper wore on their back. The other end of the static line was hooked to a steel cable inside the aircraft. And so when the jumper exited the aircraft, whether it be fixed wing or rotary wing, the static line would stretch out to its full length. And when it hit the end, it would basically jerk the jumper's main parachute out of its pack tray. The chute shock, man, from some of those jumps, especially when the Air Force chose not to slow down to its proper jump speed, the chute shock can give you some serious whiplash if you don't keep your chin tucked down tight to your chest with a good body position, which is, once again, another reason why we rehearsed every single jump. But you see, every jumper actually has two parachutes. They have a main and a reserve. The reserve chute is strapped on your body right in front, strapped to the jumper's front waist area. And once you leave the bird, every jumper is supposed to count for the right number of seconds, 4 to 6 seconds, depending on the aircraft. And if you don't feel that massive chute shock, you've got an immediate decision to make. Pull the reserve. So when we jumped in training, the usual minimum safe altitude was 800 feet above ground level, which is basically the lowest you could go in training. So we would typically jump then between 800 and 1,200 feet, depending on conditions. If you were loaded down with combat equipment, and the air was cold, and you had a big breakfast, you could expect to be in the air for maybe 30 or 40 seconds up to a minute, which feels like forever, really. But if your main parachute didn't deploy and you're in a terminal fall, you had mere seconds to get that reserve chute deployed. So the bottom line is we trained over and over and over on what to do, when to pull the reserve, how to pull the reserve, how to land under reserve chutes, over and over and over. It was ingrained to the point that it was muscle memory. And I'll be honest with you, I can't imagine ever jumping a static line jump without having that fat reserve chute strapped to my midsection. It was like an extra measure of confidence. And truthfully, it could mean life or death. So let me tell you a story, though, about no reserves. So when I was a young lieutenant, we had a sergeant in my unit who was just kind of revered by the men. He'd been a Ranger instructor, and before that, he had served with the 1st Ranger Battalion. At a time when most troops had never even been to war, he sported a Ranger tab, a combat infantryman's badge, a Bronze Star for Valor, a Purple Heart, and very notably, to all of us who were paratroopers, he had a rare set of combat jumpmaster wings, meaning that he had actually parachuted into combat himself. You see, in 1983, President Reagan initiated Operation Urgent Fury when Marxist rebels took a number of U.S. citizens hostage on the island of Grenada. This sergeant jumped into Grenada with 1st Rangers. But on that mission, everything I just told you about all the protocols, all the rehearsals, all the prep work, all the things you do before you jump, everything about it on that mission went out the window. All the protocols changed once they made contact with the enemy. You see, the Rangers were actually scheduled to conduct an air-land seizure of a major airfield to prepare for the next wave of U.S. forces coming in for the 82nd Airborne. So basically, they were supposed to land the plane. But en route to the landing site, it was learned that the enemy had placed obstructions all over the runway, making it impossible for them to land. To make matters worse, there was heavy anti-aircraft and there was bad weather, made it even more difficult. But nonetheless, the first load of Rangers actually got down on the ground, and they came into immediate contact with the enemy. With just 20 minutes' notice, the jump masters on board the remaining aircraft yelled out to the others that Rangers were in contact on the ground and that all personnel were now switching to a parachute assault. And so they immediately began doing what's known as an in-flight rig. And I've done in-flight rigs, and it's not easy. There's no time for jump master inspections. There's no time for rehearsals. There's no time to get your brain around the fact that they're about to exit a perfectly good aircraft into a hot drop zone. And then came the announcement that to avoid enemy fire, they were going to be exiting the aircraft at less than 500 feet, giving themselves only seconds in the air. So with so little time under canopy, the decision was made to save time on the rigging, and the Rangers chose not to jump with reserve chutes. Think about that. No rehearsals, no inspections, no reserves. This was an all-in moment. Static line jumping is hard. It's hard on the body. Static line jumping in combat, I'm sure, is harder. Static line jumping in combat at 450 feet with no reserve is unheard of. I know Rangers who were there who told me they broke every rule. One guy watched his buddy break out a belt of M60 ammo and load his machine gun in the plane and jump out the door with it hanging around his neck. Why am I telling you all this? What's my point? Well, part of it's to inspire you, and part of it's history. This is a mission that's almost lost to time now. People don't remember Grenada very much, but there was some stuff that happened that day, man. But the other part of it is the level of commitment that these men exhibited. You see, when they heard that their brothers in arms were in contact on the ground and in need of immediate relief, that changed the entire dynamic. It meant that they were willing and able to exit a perfectly good airplane with tracer rounds flying in the air at below the generally accepted safe jump altitude into a hot drop zone with no reserve. No reserve meant no extra personal safety for them. No reserve meant no way out. No reserve was a total commitment to whatever would come. Look, y'all, here's why I'm telling you that story, and here's the part that I want to inspire you with. You see, I'm tired of the constant haranguing of the progressive left that celebrates, accentuates, and even mandates the decline of a no-reserve mentality. You see, at every turn, when good conservatives speak up, liberals try to brand them as hate groups, call us homophobic, transphobic, or just phobophobic. They want us to cower down and try to play nice. Make no mistake that appeasement and avoidance only invites bad actors to act badly. So whether it be on the world stage in the presence of a near-peer adversary, or the local school board meeting, or in a Walmart parking lot, we need more good folks like y'all who have a no-reserve mentality. I celebrate it when I come across stories of men and women who are willing to go to hard places and do hard things, and I think that despite the overreaching attempts of the left to denigrate the American spirit and to water down standards, that the vast majority of Americans feel like I do, that what made us a great nation was the blessings of an almighty God and having a population that was typically a controlled recklessness in the way that we handled things. God bless those who are willing to go all in when they're needed, who can hear that troops are in contact or that friends are in need or that communities need voices or that churches need volunteers, and they can pivot away from their plan and be willing to just jump in feet first with a no-reserve attitude. Get her done, ruffians. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. True story that, and I'm telling you, if you want to see the details of heroism, Grenada, it was a different deal, and it was the first time we truly had joint ops, and it drove us to do things differently because of the way we didn't do things going in. But at the same time, there was heroism that day, and the invasion of Grenada, it was the first time we had done something, having come out of the Carter years of the Hollow Army. It was the first time that we had done something as a nation and said, by God, here we are. And they jumped in feet first, no reserve. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Yeah, making it cool to be a conservative. Text lines are open. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in, call it in, same number all the way around. I got a few of them already. Appreciate some of the comments. Jeremy from Huntsville just said, awesome monologue. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate you. Shelton from Harvest said, Shelton's nominating me to be Speaker of the House. Awesome. Yeah, I think that job eats people, but thank you very much, Shelton. I appreciate you, man. Frank from Huntsville. Yeah, Frank from Huntsville giving us a traffic update as we enter the pickup school hours and go home hours. He says there's standstill traffic eastbound on 565 near Greenbrier Road. So something's happening out there on 565 in the Huntsville listening area. So I know we cover half the state there, but for those of y'all in Huntsville 565, watch out near Greenbrier going eastbound. And then John from Huntsville says, Phil, nice monologue. Also, Butters, today all you have to do is get an A+ by playing all the required sound effects, and any extra sound effects will get you bonus points. Well, Butters, I tell you what, man, let's just go ahead and get you in the running right now because it's going to be a show. Butters, may I have some jackassery? Butters, would you reload for a minute, and would you hand me some whoop-whoops there, please?
Stand by.
Butters, you're doing a mighty fine job. Would you have another one that you just care to throw out there just for the good of the order? I mean, what you got?
This one's pretty pertinent this afternoon.
All right, what you got?
It's coffee time. Coffee. Cappuccino.
I had forgotten about coffee time. We haven't used that in a while.
Got to get it through the rest of the week.
John, I'm just going to go ahead and nominate him for all the points you can give him because he found a sound effect that we'd forgotten we had. So there you go. All right. Tracy from Athens says the bump music is awesome. I agree. That's Boomer does a great job putting the bump music out there. Brian from Huntsville says, never jumped as a tanker. My favorite war movie, Where Eagles Dare, for those that did. Thank you. Well, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. And thank you for your service, too, my brethren. And by the way, my dad was a tanker, and other family members are tankers. Hard to jump a tank, but they did anyway. If you remember the old Sheridans. So was it Sheridans? I think it was a Sheridan that jumped. But yeah, that was they actually had an airborne tank, and they'd kick that sucker out the plane and let it float. But they also would airdrop it, which is, I mean, LAPES drop it, which is low altitude parachute extraction system, which is basically just, you know, dislocate every bone in your body. All right, there you have it. We're going to come right back and jump right in with the GOP Thunderdome. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show, man, goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I'm going to jump back on some text messages and phone calls, and I see right now Is that Wolverine Dan? Wolverine Dan from Huntsville. How you doing, brother?
Well, it's been a while.
It has been a while.
I'm trying to stay away from all this, right? And then I get wind of the, my God, you know what? If the Congress was in the middle of an ocean on a boat and they had a football, they couldn't even hit water if they throw it. and then they say get bang, you're more bang for your buck. Well, what I'm getting and you're getting and everybody else in this country, more bang for your penny, okay? That's about all I'm getting. You know, and the other thing is, you know, the Democrats, they circle the wagon so well.
Yeah.
They all stay together. And we can't do that, okay? And that's why they're going to just annihilate us all the time. Because we need to get together and work on the common ground and try to figure this out. To me, it's almost like that. It's you know what it is? It's Disneyland. It's Daffy Duck, Goofy, and all those other characters there. This is ridiculous, okay? I'm really fed up with it, and that's the reason why I don't listen to it much anymore. Although your program is very good, and I really enjoy it, and I like the other programs on your stations here. But the bottom line is, Phil, you know, it's a shame. It's sad. It really is sad. This isn't the America that you and I grew up with. And I know you're just as tired as I am, and you served for a while. Thank you, not only in the military, but you did serve our country, and I appreciate that, okay? But, you know, Phil, it's romper room, man. This isn't working out anymore. Something's got to change, Phil, and if it doesn't change, we need to hunker down and just do the best we can to take care of our own, which is your family and your friends. And if you got a little extra cash, maybe you can help somebody else out. But please give me an answer, because right now I'm reaching for one.
Well, so and I appreciate that. And so first of all, I'll be honest with you. I'm as frustrated as you are on the one hand. At the same time, though, I got to be honest with you, where else in the world are you allowed to see the orderly process of removing leadership and replacing it with somebody else that you think can do a better job? It's an interesting dynamic that we have to be frustrated with it, and yet when you stop and pause and think about it there, Dan, you look at it and realize, well, by God, we got a system, though, that nobody else is allowed to have. Nobody else in the world is allowed to do what we can do. And I think that's true. But look at it this way: now that McCarthy's out and he's out, there's no change in it. He's out. Who would you like to see go in there that could wind up maybe doing a better job?
I can easily answer that without even the name of the person.
Come on,
I want a wrestler.
Okay, Jim Jordan.
You betcha.
There you go.
Oh yeah, he's no fuss, and he gets right to the point. And you know what? He doesn't even wear a suit coat. He rolls up his sleeves, doesn't he? Probably didn't have a sports jacket, for crying out loud. You know, and the thing is, you got to give the guy credit for even representing anybody, because he can't hear because his, you know, wrestler's ears is like cauliflower. So he probably can't even hear. I don't know how he gets things done. Maybe because, but the bottom line is this. He's getting things done. I like that guy. He's no nonsense. But Phil, it should have never got to this. We make decisions on educated. You got to have educated decisions. And I tell it to my grandkids, just don't vote because your parents vote for a party. Look at both parties and then the independents and make an educated decision. And if you do that, even if you don't vote a Democrat, I'd respect you more because you researched.
Yeah, well, I'm good with that. You're right. And I think that's one of the things that I see the Democrats so long have just, like, for instance, the black vote. You are black, therefore you will vote Democrat. No, that's insulting. I mean, they have a brain too. They can decide who they want to vote for. But anyway, the bottom line is, just so you know, and maybe you already know, Jim Jordan announced about 3 hours ago he is running for speaker. Just so you know.
Okay, well that's good to hear. You know, we need to say, and one more thing, real quickly.
Yeah.
We got to stop the crime here. Innocent 33-year-old man, I believe, with his wife just coming back for a wedding.
Saw that.
And he gets stabbed to death. Come on. We got to stop this. And when you do something like that, move them to the front of the line. There's plenty of room and there's not enough room in the prisons. Put them in Old Sparky and light them up.
I'm good with it. Wolverine Dan, don't be so long for your call back. I was starting to worry about you.
All right, brother. See ya.
See you, man. So that's one of our regular callers there, Butters. And Yeah, we got several that are like almost like the personality of the show is built around some of these people's names. And he's been gone too long, but that's Wolverine Dan, and he brings it when he comes on.
I can tell. Yeah. I can tell.
Originally from Michigan and a proud transplant to the great state of Alabama.
Nice.
So let me jump into this, Dipper. I mean, that was a great segue. So talking about stuff like there with Dan, the GOP Thunderdome. All right, y'all. It's about to be on like Donkey Kong. So we got several names that are already in the hopper. Steve Scalise is apparently announcing that he will pursue the speakership. And Jim Jordan just announced that he will, too. Jim Jordan, by the way, has been a member of the Freedom Caucus for quite a while. And Jim Jordan is spearheading the House impeachment inquiries and the oversight. So I'm stoked about this. Now, listen, I'm frustrated, and I have mixed feelings about the removal of Speaker McCarthy. I do. I do think that McCarthy had made a commitment, and I'm sick to death of continuing resolutions. I'm sick to death of $33 trillion in debt, and every time we turn around, they want a continuing resolution, and they want more. And then the Democrats come marching in the room and say, we just demand that you spend more money on the Green New Deal. And Republicans, you know, just kind of go, okay, and that happens too often. It's going to take bold, dynamic leadership. And I look back to the days, the halcyon days of Newt Gingrich, who came in there and had what he called his contract with America. And it was a true plan. It was a plan, y'all. And not only did he present the plan, but he presented the plan after securing the endorsement of the plan of every member of his caucus. And they came out there, and it was the biggest sea change we had seen in policy out of D.C., out of the House, in anybody's memory. And it's still to this day. That's why Newt Gingrich is still one of those guys who gets called on to go and speak on, you know, Fox News or wherever, because he's still the man. I don't think there's been a speaker as good as him since him. However, it's a hard job, and it's also a job that you don't want to take lightly, and it's a job you don't want to remove lightly. So to get the position, to get the vote, Kevin McCarthy agreed. He would agree to put a rule in place that any one person could go to the floor by themselves and make a motion to vacate the chair. That's how he got Matt Gaetz. That's how he got the votes. Because you remember, it took something like what? Was it like 13 votes or something to get confirmed as Speaker of the House back in, what was it, February? So Matt Gaetz remembered the rule, and he went and played it. So if you get down to it, Kevin McCarthy gave him the bullet for the gun, all right? There's that. And I meant what I said when I said it to Dan a moment ago, is where else in the world are you allowed to say in an orderly fashion, I make a motion to change leadership? I mean, the Speaker of the House is in the line of succession to the presidency, y'all. This is not a small thing. This isn't like changing out part of your school board, and I know who I'm speaking to. I'm not trying to be trite. But the truth of the matter is this. This was a big, hairy deal, and yet it was done in an orderly and competent fashion. You can gripe all you want to about people wanting their sound bites and sending out their, you know, Instagram postings about what they voted on and how they did and what they stand for. But when you get down to it, remove all the fluff. And what you had was the democratic process with rules and order and decorum doing a roll call vote and choosing to change the leadership. And that's, I'll be honest with you, I'm thankful to live in a nation where that can happen. At the same time, we got a lot to focus on right now. We have got to make sure that these impeachment inquiries are still ongoing. We have got to make sure that we have got a budgeting process that is overcoming the hurdles that Democrats keep throwing in place. We're still voting on Nancy Pelosi's budget because of continuing resolutions, and that was Kevin McCarthy's demise. We have got to make sure that our military readiness. Do you know the Army didn't make its recruiting goals again? Hit the new fiscal year, 10,000 short. I will give props. I just saw the new Be All You Can Be ad the other day when I was watching the game on Saturday. And it was inspiring. I was like, that is a commercial. I think I even said it out loud. I was by myself just watching the game. I thought, that is the way it's supposed to be. But this change, by the way, this change in the speakership, y'all, it's the first time in U.S. history that's ever happened. There has been one challenge of a speaker that was done 110 years ago. Think about it. It was 110 years since the last time somebody truly challenged the speaker on the floor of the House. There have been moments when there has been a change in leadership because the leader recognized he couldn't get anything done, a.k.a. John Boehner. But what we're looking at right now is the first time in U.S. history that a Speaker of the House has been successfully challenged on the floor and removed from his post. Now, you may be wondering, okay, where was Alabama in all this? Because, you know, we've got, out of our seven-member House delegation, six of them are Republicans, one Democrat, Terry Sewell. Well, Terry Sewell actually praised McCarthy for helping work with the Democrats to pass the stopgap bill for the continuing resolution. Whoop, whoop. Praises McCarthy one day, voted against him the next day. So Terry Sewell joined all the Democrats to, you know, oust the speaker. All of our Republicans, though, chose to maintain him. So if you're wondering where your congressman was here in Alabama on the process, they were all in lockstep in voting against the idea of vacating the chair. That's the fancy name, by the way, vacating the chair. So yeah, the Republican story here on 1819 News. The resolution was drafted in response to both legislative houses passing a continuing resolution. That's the resolution to remove him. More conservative House Republicans, it says, like Gates, Matt Gates, expressed his pleasure at the stopgap solution for its continued funding for Ukraine, lack of funding for border security, not addressing the federal deficit. But other Republicans accused McCarthy of spending too much of his tenure capitulating the Democrats. He was doing a little too much go along to get along, is what you get, what it gets down to. But all of our Republicans chose not to go for the disruption of unseating a speaker right now with so much going on. Jerry Carl down in South Alabama, he blasted the move, calling it a distraction from real issues. Dale Strong from Huntsville, our freshman congressman, he said that he backed McCarthy, saying that Republicans who voted in favor of vacating the chair were just chasing their own sound bites. One or two maybe, but... and then coming up in a few minutes when we come back from this... top of the hour break, we're going to have Congressman Barry Moore on, member of the Freedom Caucus. But this vote, these eight Republicans that voted to oust the speaker, it was not like it was a Freedom Caucus block. I mean, Nancy Mace is not in the Freedom Caucus that I'm aware of. Anyway, we'll come back from this break, finish up talking about this a little bit, and then get Congressman on the phone, Congressman Barry Moore, and get his thoughts. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. Look over here at the text messages real quick before I get too far behind, because darn, it's just a whole bunch of them just came flooding on in. I'll start from the bottom and work my way up. Linda from Huntsville says, how do people send comments to Senator Tuberville? When you send a comment, his website reads down for maintenance for weeks, and when you call his offices in town in D.C., you get a voicemail. I don't know how to tell you this, but there are other ways. And so I don't know. I mean, bottom line is I've found his office to be pretty accessible, and he has a local office there in the Huntsville area. So, Linda, I would say keep trying, but I apologize. I don't know what else to tell you. But, hey, you know what? I appreciate you doing that. Michelle from Huntsville. Does anyone see the irony that Matt Gaetz wanted McCarthy removed for catering to Dems, and yet Gaetz did the removal by catering to Dems? Michelle, that is insightful and incisive and intuition on your part. Dwight from Decatur, going back to the monologue again, he goes, I was a tanker. We had to maintain 3 points of contract while y'all just jumped out of a plane. Yes, indeed. We had further to fall, though. 3 points of contract at all times, but you're walking like, what, 5.5 feet off the ground. Of course, if the tracks are moving, it could be a little harder.
Yeah, I'm just thankful I never had to get out of a perfectly good airplane.
It's high adventure, bro.
I liked an ejection seat, but I not willingly, not getting out. No thanks.
John from Huntsville, by the way, says the coffee sound effect has definitely earned Butters massive extra credit points. Good on you. Alice from Huntsville says, wish it was that easy to get rid of Biden, although the Democrats could use it more. Yes, exactly right. Kenneth from Hartzell says, I have a question. If this is such a good thing to oust McCarthy, why did so many Democrats go for it? I'm not saying it was a great thing to oust McCarthy. I'm just saying it's great that we have the options in our capacity as, you know, citizens of a democracy to see orderly transfer of power. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that the timing was right for this fight right now. I think what they could have said was, come back first of the year and we're going for it. But by then, I mean, when's the timing going to be good, I guess? Because by then they're going to be neck deep in the election cycle, neck deep in, you know, questioning whether or not they've got another budget hassle to go through. You know, anyway, bottom line is, I don't know. But Kenneth, I'm still proud that we have the process. Leanne from Huntsville, I vote for the shakeup. McCarthy was too into Ukraine. Let's see if the new speaker can reduce that flow. Well, if it's Jim Jordan, I'm thinking we might. Frank from Huntsville says the ousting of McCarthy and the division it could create may be the first step in a third party. But we'll see. And then Thomas from Athens is giving me a long one, and I'm not sure I have a chance to read it here. Anyway, I tell you what, Thomas, I will read your text and get back to it. I got to get this done before we go. This is kind of fun. Just so you know, those of y'all that are wondering what's happening in D.C., apparently, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi still had a little special office that is, you know, something that only is given to key leaders. And the guy who is now currently holding the gavel is the Speaker pro tem, a guy named Patrick McHenry from North Carolina. And his first order of business after he gaveled out was to order her to vacate that office. Which, you know, he's, by the way, Patrick McHenry is an ally of Kevin McCarthy, so it's not like he was doing something that McCarthy just wouldn't do. But the bottom line was he was looking at this and going, you know what? Democrats just voted out my guy, and I have no reason to be nice to you. So Nancy, he actually sent an email. The email to the Speaker's hideaway office is what that's called, is being reassigned, it says, for the Speaker's use. Please vacate the space by tomorrow. The room will be rekeyed.
So, well played.
Well played. So, yeah. Hey, Nancy, you want to play that game and oust my friend and ally, Kevin McCarthy? How bad did you want that office?
And leave that stapler behind.
Yeah. that red swing line stapler has to stay. All right, listen, we're coming right back after the top of the hour break here, and we'll have Congressman Barry Moore, one of the more conservative members of Alabama's delegation. He's a member of the Freedom Caucus, and he's also, by the way, my recollection was he has not been a fan of some of McCarthy's leadership, but he did vote to keep him in the chair yesterday. We're going to talk to him, get his thoughts on how it went down. Did he do that because of timing or just because he thought it was a bad idea overall? And also get his thoughts on how's D.C. doing right now? Can they work within all the distraction this has caused? And we'll talk with the Congressman, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, we've been talking for the last little bit here about what I call the GOP Thunderdome. I mean, we've got right now there are a couple of names already throwing their hat in the ring. And is it going to be a Thunderdome? Is it going to get bloody? I don't know. But to tell you somebody who does know more than we do, and that's Representative Barry Moore. Congressman Moore hails from Alabama's 2nd Congressional District down yonder in South Alabama, the Wiregrass region. He comes from Coffee County. He's been a businessman. We served together in the state legislature. He is now an able member of Congress and a member of the Freedom Caucus, by the way. And so let me just bring him back on the show right now. Congressman Moore, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil, I am doing fine. Thank you for having me on. I hope you're doing well.
Doing well here. Thank you much. So let me ask you your thoughts on yesterday. I'm aware that all of the Republican members of Alabama's delegation chose to vote against the idea of vacating the chair. But I also know that you've had some personal beef with some of the policies and the, you know, lack of leadership in the past. Tell me your thoughts. Why was it you went ahead and chose to not vacate the chair, if you will?
Well, mainly it's just because we were trying to move. You know, we've got this year end coming where we have this CR. We got a 45-day CR. We're down to about 40 days now. And, you know, Kevin, at House Freedom Caucus, there's about 50, 45 of us, depending on what day you count. But really, there were only about 8 people that didn't want Kevin there. And a lot of us in HSC felt like, granted, the rules were in place. And there were times we feel we had to pull Kevin along on conservative ideas. I mean, the Judiciary Committee that I serve on, we brought HR2 out for border security. We defunded IRS agents. We had actually passed 3 of the 12 approach bills. We had voted on 4 of those. 3 had passed. And so that's something that Congress has not done in 26 years, passed 12 approach bills in regular order. And so Kevin was allowing us to bring amendments. A lot of the amendments you saw for spending cuts last week were actually amendments that that were offered by HSC members and conservative members of Congress. So we had a place at the table, I felt like. Now, granted, Matt Gaetz and those guys who didn't vote with him, they that was their decision. Everybody carries a voting card here, and we've all got a right to vote with the way we wanted. And they felt like this was the right move. I thought the timing was bad. I think with us just 40 days from a government shutdown and another CR with the Senate, I just thought it was more important for us to keep him in place. We were pulling him to the right. We were affecting policy. And so, you know, again, anybody that leads a party here, think about the Republican majority, Phillips. Think about it. We control one half of one third of the federal government by 4 votes. And we've only been in power 9 months. And So to think that we could turn the tide after the D.C., I mean, after it had been run by Schumer, Biden, and Pelosi for 2 years, it takes some time to do those things. So, granted, Kevin wasn't perfect. I don't know who we have at the top of the ticket right now in the sense that we put in the speaker seat that can appease everybody all the time, because this conference, really, man, Republicans, 70% of us are new since Trump was elected in 16. So I've told Kevin months ago that there is no rubber stamp. These are populist people. We're going to have to negotiate. We're going to have to work through the process. And so, hey, it is what it is, man. But we've got our work cut out for us.
Well, you do. And I mean, granted, you've got a speaker pro tem. I mean, people out there that are thinking that everything comes to a grinding halt, it's not true. I mean, the reality is committees can still function. There is a speaker pro tem holding the gavel for the time being, and there will be an ongoing slate of potential candidates. But first of all, if you don't mind, just reassure people that things like the impeachment inquiries and the other things that are happening that are important, even though there's been some distraction, you guys are still able to work. Am I right?
Yeah, we still have approach committees going. We'll still be gathering data from documents and stuff, from whether it be oversight or whether it be judiciary for hearings down the road on Biden. And I can assure you that the Republicans are not going to put a speaker in that seat that's not willing to move forward with investigations on Hunter Biden and maybe the rules to allow us to continue to have a say in the process for for years, it was just 4 people, basically. You had Schumer, and then, of course, in this case, it would have been McCarthy in a room with Biden, and they were making all the decisions. Maybe with the minority leaders, maybe McConnell's in the room too, but I think what we did with the rules that we brought in this package for the 118th Congress with Kevin being Speaker, we actually forced some conservatives on the Rules Committee. We forced the amendments, and we also – the one thing Matt was upset about was single-subject spending bills. And so he thought that the CR that Kevin put on the floor Saturday was a violation of that. That was his decision to pull the trigger again. I felt like we were too close on the clock to say, hey, let's change leaders right now, man. It's like you got to drive. You're moving the ball down the field. You know, it's fourth and two. You just can't always pull your quarterback, you know?
Yeah, well, I get it. And I've got some mixed feelings, but I agree with you. My biggest concern was the timing, and because you guys do have a heavy load, and you and I were both in Montgomery during a time frame when we saw the Speaker of the State House get switched out with Mike Hubbard, and then we saw all the rigmarole with the Bentley administration, and it does become a distraction. I mean, regular order of business still goes on. But at the same time, it's that thing that's constantly in the back of your mind, and how do we deal with this, and what's next, and who's coming in. And so, you know, it's going to be that is a challenge. You guys have the possibility of an election right now. We know that Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise have both expressed that they are openly seeking the seat. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously I think that Steve has some health problems right now.
Right.
And, I think that that's a challenge. I mean, we've got some people that we've seen recently with health problems. I don't know that I would initially support Steve. And regardless, like I said, I think the rules will remain in place. It doesn't matter who the speaker is. Now, Jim Jordan's a dear friend of mine. His wife, Polly, and Heather and I are good friends. I'm going to vote for Trump the first round. I think that it's important that we get his name out there. He's the leader of the Republican Party. And I'm thinking to myself, let's put him out there. I mean, if we could put him in the seat, I think it bodes well for the country. It's going to be tough for Republicans to say no, but if not Donald Trump, then Jim Jordan is going to be my first choice.
Wait,
and
wait,
I've talked to Jim about that.
Wait. Okay, I want to make sure that I get this on the record. So, did you just say here on Right Side Radio that you're going to be voting for Trump to take the Speaker's gavel in the first round of the elections?
Absolutely, because who else better that understands weaponized DOJ, that understands this process? And listen, Phil, there are millions, there's a mass of humanity out there that are saying we want something different in D.C. And honestly, if you think about it, I mean, whether it's Bud Light or Target, you saw what happened when the mass of humanity kind of laser focused on them. And then Jason Aldean's song, try that in a small town. And even recently with Oliver Anthony, man, the rich man north of Richmond, there's a movement in this country for something outside of just normal party leadership. And so, you know, Jim didn't contact me ahead of time, and I already committed to Rep Nails that we were going to get behind Trump. If the Dems really want to see, if they really think that Trump is he's going to be the undoing of the Republican Party, then they'll vote with us to make him Speaker. But I think initially we're going to support Trump, see how that plays out. And then, of course, if we can't get the conference behind us, I think Jim Jordan, me, because he's conservative, he's a friend, I trust him farther than I could ever throw him.
Well,
he's just a great man.
Well, within the body, staring at it from afar, I agree with you. The leadership we've seen out of Jim Jordan looks great. I mean, if you want to throw your name in the hat, I'll get behind that. But the reality is, from the names that I've seen in there, yeah. But let me ask you this. Go back to the Trump question. Are there other members of the body besides you and Nails that are saying, hey, you know what, let's bring Trump's name up there and see what happens?
Yeah, I mean, Luna Paula, she's on board with us. Then you've got, of course, Marjorie Taylor's on board. And we're talking to other members because, you know, I'd almost dare Republicans to vote against Trump right now. I'd be like, you guys, he's the leader. He got 74 million votes, and the man could walk away and let the country burn down. He's a billionaire. But he's staying in the fight, and because they're targeting him, I think, more than anything, let's put him the most powerful position we've got in the House right now. Is that Speaker position. He can do that. He can become president. Hey, we'll get somebody in the wings after him. But initially, yes, I'm going to be a Trump guy just because I think he's outside the system. And listen, we haven't done that normal approach process in 26 years. That's why the country's $33 trillion in debt. We need some outsiders, some people coming in. And so, yeah, brother, I'm gonna be with Trump until people say we're not with Trump. But he can't get there. And then Jim, naturally, my second choice. He chairs the judiciary. He's the one that got me on the Judiciary Committee. He's a good friend and a fighter, too. He loves the president.
Yeah, and I agree with all right, here's the deal, man. But listen, if whoever makes the motion, whether it's going to be Nails or whoever nominates Trump, I want somebody to have a camera on Pelosi's face when that happens. You've got to do it.
or if he wins, can you? I would just like to pan the camera across the Democratic side as Donald Trump comes in and takes a gavel. I think that would be worth. That would be a viral moment.
Bro. Oh my gosh, it would. But I tell you what, though, you better put some extra security on his office if that happens. Dadgum, the man's already got a target on his back. Can you imagine if he has the gavel in the House?
No, it would be glorious and crazy all at the same time.
It would indeed. It would be a whole new day. All right. Well, listen, so the bottom line is this. Business keeps going. Do you have a timeline when you think there's going to be a vote on the floor for Speaker?
Yeah, so we're going to conference, and the Republican conference will come in next Tuesday night. They'll talk a little bit, and then the members, like I said, are putting their name in the hat. I noticed Jim Banks endorsed Jim Jordan a while ago. There'll be some people in the race, obviously, three or four or five of them. Tom Emmer, who's the majority whip right now, he'll probably put his name in the hat. But with all that said, Wednesday we're supposed to have the speaker vote, but the probes committees, those guys are still meeting. They're still, like I said, it's not going to totally shut down.
All right, and do you think the Freedom Caucus is going to block vote, or are y'all going to be just basically everybody have their own mind?
No, that's the one glorious thing about Freedom Caucus, brothers. We're all free thinkers, and so you're going to have different people line up behind different people, and as far as nominees. And honestly, I think you're going to have we'll all wind up getting behind the most conservative member in the race. I just don't know who that'll be just yet. We'll just have to see how the dust settles.
Well, listen. Congressman Barry Moore, we appreciate you, appreciate your stand on the issues, and I appreciate you making time for us today and keep us posted on what you see coming, all right?
Hey, I'll do it. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate your time as well.
Thank you. Take care. All right. Listen, we're going to go to a break right now, but I'm going to tell you right now, if this is legit, man, if there is a group of congressmen that are saying, hey, you know what? We're going to nominate Trump, see what happens. Just in there, and just dare people to vote against him. Lord, it could be fun. All right, listen, we're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. I got to catch my breath. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're still in number one of the Triple Dipper. Talk about the GOP Thunderdome. By the way, a little more bloodshed in the Thunderdome. I just saw that not only was Nancy Pelosi evicted from the Capitol building, because keep in mind, the Capitol is the original building where both the chambers, House and Senate, are on each side of the rotunda. And there are some offices, but for the most part, everybody has their offices in external buildings. You see pictures of them sometimes walking through the tunnels or running across the open courtyards to get over there for a vote. But senior leaders are allowed to have what they call hideaway rooms or small offices that they can keep for having on-site meetings so they can constantly step off the floor, have a quick meeting, go back in. Well, Pelosi still had one. She doesn't have one anymore. So after the Democrats decided to mass together and help overthrow the speaker, the Speaker pro tem has now kicked out Steny Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi, ordered them to give back their offices today, like without fail. Like he even told them we're changing the locks. So that's pretty funny. Hey, let me go to the phones real quick. He held on during the break, so I want to honor his time. Alan from Hartsell. Hey, Alan, how you doing, man?
I'm upright and breathing again.
Yes, you are.
Looking down the ground instead of looking up.
There you go. What's
I've
up?
I'm going to throw a name in there. He's a constitutionalist, and he'd hold his feet to the fire when it comes to parliamentary procedure. You'd have to convince Trey Gowdy to get out of his current little TV show.
Yeah.
But I think he would keep it stirred up pretty well. He would make you follow the rules, and you would do right, or he'd chastise you real quick, legally.
He's a sharp mind. I mean, some of my favorite on-air monologues have been his. He gives a great, impassioned presentation of facts. He sticks to the law. You know, he can get wound up, but he also doesn't get carried away. And you're right, man. Trey Gowdy would be awesome, wouldn't he?
I think he would be, but I don't see that happening. He'd have to give up a whole lot of what he's doing now. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure it'd be a pay cut.
it'd be a pay cut, but I think he'd be a good one. But that's just my opinion, and that's like everybody that we got one, right?
No, that's exactly right. Alan, appreciate you, man. Have a great day.
You too, bud.
All right, we'll see you. Looking over the text lines real quick so I can stay caught up on those. Joe from Birmingham says, okay, he says me for speaker. Okay, thank you, Joe. Appreciate you, man. Michelle from Huntsville says, I think Gates is dangerous. I agree with you about the process, but timing is bad. Y'all go fix the budget. And then she says, wait, how can you put Trump in speaker? He's not in Congress because the law does not require the Speaker of the House to be a member of the body. That's why. It's actually true. The law of the land does not require that the person who wields the gavel as Speaker of the House of Congress be a member of Congress. I think it's happened once before in the history of the United States. Was it John Adams? I need to go back and look, but I do believe it's happened once before in the history of the U.S. But you know what the thing is, though? Everything in D.C. revolves around, you know, seniority and earning leadership and all that. And you got to know, it's like, okay, this is our club. What are the odds we're going to see somebody who's not in our club be allowed to run our club? But I guarantee you, if Trump got nominated, he would walk. Can you imagine him walking up to the dais? Wait, I know what. Can you imagine if Trump was still sitting in the seat when Biden had to stand there and give the State of the Union address?
Mm.
Oh, come on.
Well, and the Republicans that didn't support him on that would just, I guess their names would just get in bold on his list.
I guess. Yeah, his little doo-doo list would get longer. Real quick, a couple of them. TL from Huntsville says, Thunderdome, let the fun begin. Don't be afraid to stay in the fight. There you go, bro. Kathy from Madison says, Trump would be perfect as Speaker of the House. Missy from Falkville says, King of Budgets, Dave Ramsey for Speaker. Oh, man, put the entire United States on the envelope system. And then Patrick from Grove Oak. Patrick Grove Oak says, pro is the opposite of con, so Congress must be the opposite of progress. Oh, wow. I may have to tattoo that one. John from Harvest says, glad to hear that Pelosi got kicked out of her office, but I have to wonder why that wasn't done when McCarthy first became Speaker. Well, because he was trying to buy time with them. Boyd from Joppa, if Trump was made Speaker, would he hand the gavel over to Fauci like he did during his presidency? Woo! Shout out. Jim from Walker County, love to see Biden faces if Trump became Speaker of the House. Wouldn't you, though? Wouldn't you? And then Ron from Tuscumbia, C-SPAN is hoping that Trump gets Speaker ratings. It's a ratings bump for them. That's exactly right. All right, we're taking a break. We're coming right back. I'm going to try and change dippers. We got to do some home fries because we got a sound effect button we got to push. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.